From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Going crazy for Cristiano? Loopy for Lukaku? Maybe your wild card is active and it's sending you wild. All your international break FPL queries answered right here. No Premier League this weekend, no problem for us. We are back and there is a lot for us to get through. Joining me, Kelly Summers, this week. He is racking up the appearances early in the season. It's half of FPL family, Lee Bonfield.
Hey, Kelly.
It's the first appearance of the season for Statman Supremo, Duncan Alexander.
Hello, Kelly.
And footballer turned pundit turned rather good FPL manager, Sam Parkin.
Morning, Kelly.
That's as nice as I'm going to be the whole podcast, guys, by the way. And it wasn't such a high-scoring game week, unfortunately, this time, was it? We all scored between 58 and 62. In the interests of transparency, I'm the one with 58. Everyone else at least got above 60. Sam and Duncan, we haven't heard from you this season on the pod, so let's start with you, Sam. A score of 62. How do you sum up the game week and your start to the season?
Pretty pleased, I think, overall. I had the bumper first weekend, which really helped. Made a bit of a hash of my captain selections in the last two game weeks, but other than that, it's been been a really good start. Got in on Benrahma and Antonio from the off, and tripled up on West Ham this weekend. So there's a little bit of surgery I'd like to do, but no panic right now. I'm pretty satisfied.
Duncan, the international break is often a good time to kind of take stock of the opening three game weeks. We're on a Zoom call right now and you've got a bit of a wry smile on your face, which suggests to me you're not totally happy with how the season started.
Not with how it started. No, I had a terrible week one. I got 49 points. I did a silly thing. I tried to be extremely clever rather than playing it safe at the start of the season, which backfired because I figured, looking at the numbers, obviously, that that Sadio Mane was going to hit the ground running this season better than Salah. So I went for that option. And I had him captained and Bruno vice-captain. And I didn't have Antonio. And yeah, I only got 49 points. So since then, it's been a sort of improvement. But yeah, I think I'm going to wildcard in the international break because I've got that freedom too, really. It's been such a bad start that, you know, I don't have to worry about sort of, you know, losing a bit of ground. I can just make sweeping decisions and hopefully improve.
We've come to the right place. We'll be talking about wild cards in a little bit more detail very shortly. But Lee, we know how your start to the season has been pretty solid. How was the last game week for you? How are you feeling about your team? Because I know you were hovering over a wild card. Have you been tempted?
Very much been tempted, Kelly. Yeah, last game week was okay. As you say, 62 points, solid start. I think I'm sitting at somewhere like 440-ish K, something like that, overall rank, which is fine. I'm okay with that. And as you suggest, I don't feel like my team needs massive wild card surgery. You know, there's a few things I'd like to change, and we'll talk about certain Portuguese later on. But I don't feel like I really need to change a load of things. So I'm hovering over it. I'm tempted. If we get a bit more detail about Roberto Firmino's injury, that might change my mind on Jota, and that might change my mind on the wild card as well. But right now, everything's okay, it's all right. It's a solid start.
Is now a good time to wildcard, do you think, Lee? Because we do see a lot of them active during international breaks.
Absolutely can be, yeah. And I'll reel out the same answer that I always have on these podcasts about wildcards, which is it's completely personal to you and your own team. And I appreciate that's a very much a fence-sitting answer. But if Duncan feels like his team needs a bit of surgery, a bit of change, plenty of changes, then yeah, wildcard now is the right thing to do. There are other game weeks coming up, though, I think, in the not too distant future, where there is a bit of a fixture swing, particularly for Chelsea, in favour of Chelsea, and particularly out of favour of Manchester United, around game week 7 or 8. And we'll talk about it in a bit more detail later on, but I'm saving my wildcard, I think, for a few weeks from now.
Sam, for those managers that aren't wildcarding, when do you think we should be making transfers? Because, of course, people will want to get players in before the prices rise or maybe sell players before they fall. And, of course, we have got players away on international duty as well. So you don't want to buy someone who then gets injured.
Yeah, I'd always tend to wait right till the end of the international break to see what unfolds, to be honest. I think the important thing right now, if you're contemplating wildcarding in this game week, is to not think of players as a quick fix. For example, I've had Alonso in my side, who's probably going to make way for Ben Chilwell at some stage. You've got Tsimikas, who obviously is not going to be featuring now because of Robertson. You've got someone like, off the top of my head, John Stones, who's not featured yet for Manchester City, away an international break. So you've got to look at the bigger picture, I think. And I think that's why it's probably in your interest, unless you're desperate, to just hold fire on that wild card right now and just see what unfolds in the next few weeks, especially after an international break when people can pick up injuries or managers can tend to rotate.
I know what you're saying, Sam, and in many ways I agree, but also I think this has been quite an unusual transfer window in that we have seen some really, really big players come in, you know, not just Ronaldo at the end, but Lukaku, and these are big money players, which I don't think, you know, last season was very much kind of budget a little bit on your forwards and spend big on midfield, whereas I think this season we have gone back to a kind of, you know, big, famous striker, which I think a lot of people are going to find quite hard to fit in, unless maybe they wildcard or do quite a lot of surgery. So, yeah, I know what you're saying, but I think, you know, I've now got the option of Ronaldo or Lukaku going forward, which I think is going to be quite a big sort of power play.
All right, Duncan, no one likes to show off. I've got the option of Ronaldo and Lukaku while the rest of us are trying to work out how we can get them in. I was going to save Cristiano Ronaldo and talking about him for the second section of the podcast, but we've already mentioned him two or three times without really meaning to mention him. So, Lee, is he a must-have? Do we have to have him?
Well, that's why we've mentioned him, isn't it? He's impossible to ignore, isn't he, in so many ways, Ronaldo. I don't think you have to have him. I don't think you have to have him, is the first thing to say. And certainly I've seen a lot of the Twitter community, sort of a lot of the FPL community, moving away from Bruno Fernandes to get the money to go to Ronaldo. And it just feels so uncomfortable for me taking Bruno Fernandes out of my team before Newcastle at home, as the fixture in game week 4 looks so good. But he is hard to ignore. No doubt he's going to be on direct free kicks. No doubt in my mind that he's going to pull rank on penalties in the same way that he does in the Portuguese side. So, and of course, that takes a little bit away from Fernandes as an FPL asset, because if he's not going to be on penalties and he's not on direct free kicks and Ronaldo's going to take them, I can see why FPL managers are making the shift from one Portuguese to another. I just want to see a couple of games from Manchester. I just want to see Ronaldo and just understand and know that he's going to have all of those things that I've just said, and he's going to have the impact that we think he's going to have. I think he's going to be good though. So if you are playing your wild card, yeah, seems like a sensible time to get in.
If there was ever a 36-year-old that was coming into the Premier League that's guaranteed to play, this is surely it. I can't imagine sure, Cristiano yeah. Ronaldo yeah. sitting on the bench too often or walking around the training ground having to join in with the reserves on a Friday. So I think he goes straight in. And also with Dan James leaving...
More than Phil Jagielka.
Yeah. With Dan James leaving, surely that means that Mason Greenwood, considering he's got 3 and 3, can just go and play on that right-hand side and Cavani and Ronaldo can battle it out for that central position. But I imagine, especially given what's happened in the Portuguese game, getting a couple of goals, he'll walk into the side, I'm sure.
Well, as a Mason Greenwood owner and someone who's not wildcarding, I certainly hope you're right and he keeps his place as well, Sam. Well, it does turn out that Duncan is not alone. At the time of recording, there are around 400,000 of you who have also activated your wildcards. So next up, let's take a closer look at a wildcard strategy and no doubt more chat about Ronaldo. So just a few weeks after the first game week 1 deadline, many of you are ripping up your teams and starting again. I do wonder if a few managers in real life wish they could do the same as well. Duncan, you are one of those managers. Tell us, who were the first players in your side, or which players were the motivation for you playing this wild card?
Well, all of them. I wanted to get Ronaldo in, and I wanted to get Salah in, so those two are in. But also I wanted to kind of fill the midfield with players that are basically sort of playing up front and going to score goals. So Jota's in, Ferran Torres is in, and I brought Pogba in as well, because I just think, you know, his assist figures this season are really good. And basically what that means is, unlike last season, or particularly the season before, I've had to go super budget on defence. So Cresswell's the most expensive defender in there on 5.5. And then it really is a collection of people like Duffy, Agier, Livramento, who have all started the season pretty well, but, you know, aren't sort of classic picks. But I think I've had to, you know, had to budget there just to bring in you know, the big guns in midfield and up front. So that's the plan, and we'll see how it goes.
That's also the question that we asked on Twitter this week. We asked, who are the most important players? Charlie said Salah plus one of Ronaldo or Lukaku would be significant for any wildcard team. Three premiums would make insufficient funds in their team. How many premiums have you got there, Duncan?
Just Salah and Ronaldo. But I think, as I said earlier, you know, depending on what happens, you could switch out Ronaldo for Lukaku or Kane pretty easily. So it gives me that flexibility. And yeah, I have used up the wild card, but I'm pretty happy. I mean, I think this season has been a really strange season so far in that, you know, some teams have started how expected, but a lot haven't. And I think, you know, there's a lot of teams who look, if you look at the league table, that, like, they aren't playing that well, but actually are, and vice versa. So again, I think it's another reason why I think it's not a bad thing to wildcard this early, is because, you know, the season isn't necessarily going to play out how it looks so far.
Yeah, we've also had this in from The Eagle, who says definitely Lukaku and Ronaldo into wildcard teams. Lee, for you, who is the best striker? Could we have two premium strikers if you were wildcarding? Which ones would you be going for?
So I think the two premium striker strategy is viable, but it really does eat up a lot of your budget, and you're probably going to be forgoing a Fernandes or maybe even a Salah. You're probably going to be selling Son. And let's not forget, those three that I've just mentioned, Salah, Fernandes and Son, they've been so good for us over the last few years, particularly the first two, and our captaincy options every week can be relied upon, etc., etc. And although we expect Lukaku and Ronaldo to be great for us in FPL, it's still just an expectation. We're not sure that they're going to be great for us. So I'm still happy to kind of wait and see on those two. If I was wildcarding this week, though, I think I probably would go for Ronaldo. But I think I probably would look to make that switch to Lukaku in about two or three game weeks' time. As I mentioned before on the pod, the fixtures really turn for Chelsea in game week seven in favour of Chelsea, and they turn away for Manchester United. So by getting Ronaldo on your wildcard this week, just be... try not to get too emotionally attached, I would say, Duncan. Maybe, yeah, maybe have the switch to Lukaku in your mind in a few weeks from now.
Well, I have got that in my mind, but also it's worth pointing out that in the 12 seasons since Ronaldo left Manchester United, he's scored at least 20 goals in each, yeah, of them, which is pretty impressive. He's broken the 30-goal barrier 8 times in his career. But looking at my team, my front three now is Antonio, 31, Ronaldo, 36, and as it stands, this might change, Rondon, who's 31. So, you know, all three forwards
Simon
over 30.
Simon Rondon. Wow, that's,
yeah,
a pick.
So, you know, that's a good combined age, but obviously the older you get, as we all know, the more susceptible you are to injury. So we'll have to see how it works out.
Yeah, a few more tweets. Then we've had this in from Anzi, who says Antonio, Benrahma, Buendia, Reece James and CR7 Cristiano Ronaldo are essential, whilst FPL Bruyne says Ronaldo, Antonio, Salah, Trent Alexander-Arnold and Rafinha. Is Antonio essential, do you think, Sam? His price has risen, but he's the top scoring player still in FPL this season.
Right now, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the confidence that he's playing with is something that I've not, you know, seen from him ever, I don't think. I mean, top of goals, assists, big chances missed, shots, he's at the top of every column. And they're playing really attractive football. So absolutely, and I think that's why I'd probably just go for one premium striker, because of the points that Lee made and because there's good value in some of the front players. I think despite Brentford's tricky run that's coming up, Ivan Toney, for me, having got his goal, is still a brilliant pick because of his price and because of Brentford are going to win a lot of narrow matches, and he's going to invariably be the one on the score sheet, takes penalties. Obviously, Callum Wilson's had a great start to the season, so I wouldn't be too hasty to try and get Ronaldo and Lukaku in the side. I'd hold fire with having Salah and possibly Fernandes or Son in that midfield and make sure you're able to get one of the big hitters in your front line. But, you know, everyone's got their own idea about how it can be done. You can get three premium guys in, you can get two in and maybe Trent in the back line. Or you can have, you know, two premium assets and then just have a good squad in general. So I think there's three ways to attack it. I'm going to maybe try and go for the three premiums and then go for, you know, cheap assets everywhere else and see how I get on that way.
Yeah, totally agree with you, Sam. I mean, we've spent the last, what, two or three weeks on this podcast talking about how much value there is in that mid-price striker bracket with that Calvert-Lewin, Antonio, Danny Ings, of course, which he's got a difficult fixture run. Maybe you're not bringing him in. And Jimenez as well, who's joint third for shots right now, according to the stats. So there's so many good options that I wonder whether the FPL community may be getting a bit blinded by the Ronaldo and Lukaku new signings coming in. Don't get me wrong, they're really good to have in your team, but there is some great value out there if you can find it.
So all this talk about the premium forwards, we've spoken about Lukaku, we've spoken about Ronaldo. Excuse me, guys, there's a certain forward called Harry Kane. Not sure if you're aware of him. Won the Golden Boot last year, won the Playmaker Award. Are we at risk of overlooking him, Sam?
Quite possibly. Maybe just for the first time ever, we're just looking at him and questioning exactly where is his head, maybe. And that's why he's not an automatic pick for everyone. That said, you know, 200 grand cheaper than Ronaldo, who's fresh into the game. Obviously, the consistency that he's shown year after year. London derbies, three of them around the corner. He's got an amazing record, especially against Arsenal. Normally scores in that Chelsea fixture as well. So my tendency would be just to hold off a little bit. I don't know why I'm saying that, because I think he'll probably burn me. But I'd just hold off a little bit. I think there's probably more to suggest that Lukaku is going to be on fire in the next few weeks ahead of Harry Kane. But that's not to say he won't be a permanent fixture moving forward.
Yeah, as we've said before, it might be about kind of playing the fixtures and jumping between these premium forwards. Lee, quickly, the acid test. Is Sam bringing Harry Kane in?
Well, of all of the FPL managers that I know in the community, she is the only one right now that's discussing Harry Kane over the other two. I think Sam's absolutely right. We've got, Lukaku and Ronaldo coming in is really mixed up the template. And yeah, no one seems to be talking about Harry. I went to the game last week. I didn't think he played particularly well, although he did miss a bit of a sitter at the back.
It was against a stellar defence, Lee. That was what it was.
That's absolutely right. And yeah, although it was a sitter, it was very good defending from Watford, I have to say. There was a little nick on it that made him miss it, of course. But outside of chance, I didn't really see enough from Harry Kane to suggest that I want to spend 12.3. So yeah, I'm in agreement with Sam. I'm probably going to ignore Harry. And it might be at our peril, you know. Maybe he is the one after this little run of fixtures. They've got Chelsea and Arsenal coming up, although Arsenal should hold no fear for them. They've got a nice little run after that. So yeah, one to watch, of course, Harry Kane.
The only thing you can say is that he didn't score in August, which is what he used to do when he used to rattle in 30-odd goals. So maybe he's set up for a good season.
I think we're all in agreement then that Mo Salah, the high-scoring midfielder in the game, is someone that can't be sacrificed. I know at times last season there was maybe an argue, over the past few years there's been maybe an argue of maybe we should go Mane or maybe we could go even cheaper with Diogo Jota. But are we all in agreement that Mo Salah has to stay in as one of our premium picks?
Well, you say stay in, bring in. I think I'm just going to ask. I mean,
maybe we're understanding why you haven't had such a good start to the season, the fact that you haven't had him.
Look, I thought Mane was going to start the season better. It turns out Mo Salah's still incredibly good at football. He's on 99 Premier League goals, so that's good. He's also, let's not forget, the only player to score more goals than Cristiano Ronaldo in a 38-game Premier League season in the competition's history. So, you know, you could argue that he's going to be inspired by the likes of Lukaku and Ronaldo coming back. So, yeah, he's now on my team and I will never mention this again.
Apart from on this pod.
And you cannot make a case for selling him on your wildcard, I don't think. I mean, you can make a case for moving the funds from Bruno to Ronaldo. We talk about the penalties and the free kicks that I mentioned earlier in the pod. But, yeah, come on, never doubt the Egyptian king.
Of course, we started the season, a lot of us, with Mo Salah and Bruno in our teams. If we are downgrading one of those, there's quite a few nice options at the 6 or 7 million price bracket. Ferran Torres is someone that's had a brilliant start to the season, as is Mason Greenwood, Diogo Jota as well, if Roberto Firmino is out for a while. Which of those players do you think is the most appealing?
Well, I think Jota and Torres are both appealing because they're essentially playing as strikers. So, you know, they're going to get a lot of chances. Torres seems to be one of those players that classic kind of City in that he might not score for a few weeks, but then he will get sort of a hat-trick or even four goals at some point. He obviously got that hat-trick at Newcastle last season, got a couple last week. So I think he is a really good player to get in, actually. And we know what Jota can do. I mean, one kind of cheaper option is Damari Gray, I think. Everton has started really well under Benitez. You know, he's online to be one of the bargains of the season so far. He's already got 9 points in week two and eight in week three. So, yeah, I think he's a really good option. And he's only owned by 5% at the moment. So that's a good shout.
I would actually love us now to do a live count of how many people have actually activated their wildcards during that chat. I know I'm tempted, that's for sure. Anyway, if you have pressed the button, do not forget. It's not just about this week. It's also about fixtures further down the line. Convenient then that they're what we're looking at next. Yes, the Longview Essential Listening. Whether you are wildcarding or not, we use a fixture difficulty rating to take a look at which teams have the best upcoming fixtures. Now, Sam's already mentioned Wolves. They still haven't scored in the league. Fixtures now really do turn. In case you haven't checked them out, Watford, Brentford, Southampton, Newcastle, Villa and Leeds, all before game week 10. Duncan, is there anyone that's coming into your wildcard team? Is there anyone you're backing to come good? Surely, Adama Traore has got to find some end product soon.
Yes, him. I think we mentioned Raul Jimenez as well. I mean, Wolves are kind of breaking a lot of records. We saw Brighton last year creating good chances and not taking them, but Wolves have gone to the next level. If you look at the open play XG this season, top are Manchester City. Well, that's a surprise. A second are West Ham, the new, you know, title contenders. And then third are Wolves. So they're like the big three in terms of chance creation this season. So the fact that Wolves haven't scored is insane, really. And as you say, this run of fixtures, they're bound to come good. I mean, they really could just stick a lot of goals past someone. We saw them do it in the League Cup against Forest. So, yeah, it's very tempting to get at least one Wolves player in, maybe even two.
Arsenal are also very high up on the fixture difficulty ranking. Now, last week, Adrian Clark, couldn't find positives in buying any Arsenal players. I doubt he's found many more following their defeat at City. But Norwich and Burnley next. Should we at least be keeping an eye, Sam?
Yeah, I'm going to make a case. I'm going in.
Go. That's what
Emil
we like.
Emil Smith Rowe. 2 goals, 5 assists and 9 clean sheets last season. 74 points, but only played the equivalent of 16, 90 minutes. So I think it averages out as not a bad weekly return. And I just think Norwich away, home to Burnley coming up. Two really good fixtures. And I think he's their shining light, certainly in an attacking sense. Maybe not to be a starter, but as your fifth midfielder to come in off the bench, I think there's value there.
Do you fancy him over Odegaard, Sam? Because the FPL have been pretty crafty. They've priced both of those guys similarly. I think Smith Rowe may be slightly less than 5.5 now, but there's a choice to be made there between the two.
I would do right now. That could change as the season plays out. But yeah, I think given the form that he's in and what Odegaard produced in an Arsenal shirt last time he was at the Emirates, I think you'd back Smith Rowe for now. So I think it's going to turn for Arsenal. I don't think they're going to start picking up maximum points in big games against the top six sides. But I think in this type of fixture, they definitely could turn a corner.
They've got enough to stay up, is what you're saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying. 17th.
Next up on the fixture difficulty rating is actually Leeds. Now, they face a tricky game against Liverpool in game week 4, but then it's Newcastle, West Ham, Watford, Southampton and Wolves. Of course, a big bit of business for them earlier this week. Dan James finally signing for the club 2 years after he initially wanted to. How does his signing affect the other Leeds attacking options, do you think, Duncan, if at all?
Well, Rafinha, is he going to go more centrally? I mean, he is a player that's played there in the past. You know, he obviously can cut in and shoot really well, so that might help. I mean, you know, maybe it'll give Bamford a little bit of a rest as well. He was played a lot and he's a very reliable player. But I just think it gives Leeds more attacking options, obviously. But the way they play as well, just stretching teams, I think Dan James is perfect for that. I mean, he feels like a really natural fit at Leeds, whereas he probably didn't at Manchester United so much. So I would expect him to actually hit the ground running, literally. It's Dan James at Leeds. I think, as you say, they've got really good running fixtures. They haven't started brilliantly, but their chance creation is still pretty good. So I would look more towards attacking players from Leeds at the moment than defenders, though.
Yeah, definitely one to keep an eye on. Dan James currently priced at 6 million. Rafinha is 6.5 million. Now, in contrast, some of the teams that maybe don't have the best fixtures coming up. We spoke about it last week with Aston Villa. A lot of people knew, I think, when you were investing in their players. In fact, they had a good start and then their fixtures did turn, particularly Danny Ings. We also know that Martinez will miss the Chelsea game after the international break due to quarantine rules. Should we be completely jumping off Villa players, Lee?
I think you should, yes, just because I don't think they've impressed at all in the first three game weeks, actually. I feel pretty lucky to have the points that I've had. We had 19 points from Danny Ings, and we've had a penalty, we've had a bicycle kick, and we've had an assist, haven't we? So, you know, thanks, Danny. Thanks for those points, but I think it's time for FPL managers to move him on. And of course, as we mentioned before, plenty of good options in that bracket, including the likes of Bamford, whose fixtures turn, as we've just discussed. If you haven't got Antonio, he's obviously one to go to in that bracket as well. And of course, Jimenez, the aforementioned Jimenez, whose underlying stats are very good despite Wolves not picking up any points yet. So for me, yes, I'm afraid it probably is time for Danny to make way. Elsewhere in that Aston Villa side, yeah, they're not really impressing me defensively either right now. With John Terry leaving the club over the summer, maybe that is having an impact on the way that they're defending in the Premier League now. They've got a bit of work to do to get those new players bedded in, Kelly. I think the likes of Buendia, Leon Bailey coming in. They've got a bit of work to get those guys to gel. And unfortunately for Villa, haven't necessarily got the fixtures to do that over the next four or five. So they are a bit of an avoid for me, I'm afraid.
That feels a bit weird because last week on the podcast, after Danny Ings has scored 2-2, including an absolute wonder goal, we talked about the fact that managers should maybe sell him. Ivan Toney scores his first Premier League goal. His price is down to 6.4. Sam, you're not convinced now is the right time to jump off him, though.
No, I don't think so. I'd certainly keep him for the next two. There'd be an argument maybe to have him on the bench for potentially the Liverpool and Chelsea home fixtures if you've got a strong enough midfield to do so. But no, I think he's going to continue in the vein that he showed at Villa Park. I really do, and I think Brentford are going to surprise a few. I'd go as far to say, sorry to go back a little bit in time, but I'd be tempted by one of the Brentford defenders. And again, you may have to bench them for some of those bigger games, but I think certainly there's value with Aya in particular. I think he's had a really goal-scoring record previously in his career at Celtic. He'd be the one I'd go for over Pinnock or Janssen. But those two, I think, in my mind, good selections as well. Two clean sheets so far. Brentford are going to consolidate, I think, in my mind, this season.
If you look at XG created from set pieces this season, Burnley atop, not that much of a surprise maybe. Then you've got Liverpool and City because they're just good. And then in fourth place are Brentford. So, you know, they are going to create those chances, which again, defenders are going to be up for. So, yeah, I think that's a good strategy.
Brighton and Wolves next up for Brentford before they do take a slight turn. So I get the feeling we might be talking about them again in a couple of weeks. Anyway, that's the longer picture covered. Now back to the present and our plans ahead of game week four. Well, international breaks can be dangerous because we often have too much time to tinker and to plan. But Lee, you haven't wildcarded. Other than avoiding pressing the wildcard button, what are your plans over the next week or so with your team?
Oh, well, I've been lurking. I've been doing a lot of lurking over the last few days. It's one of those where you take the international break. We've got three game weeks now worth of data to have a look at. So I'm playing around with some data, having a look at what's going on the international matches. You know, going on Twitter, understanding what people are thinking in terms of wildcards and stuff, but not really taking any action yet, Kelly. I think I'm happy to sit and be patient, wait to see what happens over the next couple of weeks, and then act towards the end of the week. I'm always a big fan of having as much information at my disposal as possible before I make any transfers or before I think about hitting the wildcard button. As I mentioned before, I don't think I'm going to wildcard. I think we've got better opportunities to do that around game week 7. I'd be pretty surprised if I don't wildcard this week. I'm pretty sure it'll be game week 7. But yeah, doing a lot of lurking, just listening, just taking in all the information, just getting ready to pounce in about 5 days from now.
Voyeur you.
Something like that.
It's unsettling. Yeah. It's genuinely unsettling to hear.
Duncan, what about you? How many transfers are you making a day? What kind of time of day are you doing it? Are you doing it late at night in case price rises? What's the strategy?
Just every minute of every day. So I'm just, you know, like
the addiction
just smashing
is real.
The keyboard. Yeah. No, I've got obviously, you know, as we said, Ronaldo, Salah, a few others kind of set in stone. But then it is very much a case of, you know, fitting players in and out and seeing what they look like. And as we say, the international break's an interesting time. I think this one's quite interesting because obviously some players haven't been allowed to travel for their countries where normally they might come back really tired. So you could see some players, you know, really match week four, you know, hit the ground running in a way that they might not have done normally. So I think there is quite a lot of nuance to take in. But yeah, I mean, obviously, as everyone knows, the benefit of a wild card is you can just play around to your heart's content. So, but the price rises are a concern a little bit. But I think everyone knows, you know, who's in form and who's not. So you should be able to see it coming.
What about you, Sam? Not wild carding either, but it sounds like you're a man with a plan.
I think the temptation is always there, isn't it? Especially for the Mavericks of us. So, listen, I made 3 substitutions last week, despite being, I think, top of our little mini league. And yeah, I've obviously not picked up a particularly good return having done that. But listen, I've got to get Lukaku or Ronaldo in. So I think there's minor surgery that needs doing. Nothing major right now. There's not enough there to have. To justify doing a wild card, but I'd like to get Lukaku in. I don't trust Callum Wilson, despite a brilliant start to the season. He's carrying a bit of a thigh injury, and I've been burnt by him before. So I think I'll do Lukaku for Wilson, and to enable that to happen, I'm probably going to get rid of Fernandes and maybe for Greenwood. And my thought process there is, you know, maybe Ronaldo on the pens, and Fernandes has a couple of limp performances recently. I've had it with him. He's out.
He didn't look happy when he substituted by Portugal either. I think that felt like the passing of an era. You know,
there we go.
He was substituted. Ronaldo scores two late goals. So
I can't believe how quickly you guys are writing off Bruno Fernandes. Goodness me. It's FPL royalty we're talking about here.
Also, that would be the shortest era ever. In terms of, we're saying he's gone from being an FPL king to over just because they've signed Ronaldo. Anyway, it's going to be interesting, isn't it, over the next few weeks, particularly with United's attack. We thought it was interesting before Cristiano joined. Now it's got even more interesting. Well, guys, good luck with it. Duncan, don't make too many transfers. Sam and Lee, resist if you can, pressing that wildcard button, unless, of course, you decide your team needs it. Now, if you are forward planning, listener, remember your deadline isn't until Saturday, the 11th of September at 11 a.m. UK time. In the meantime, remember to join our league. The code is 1KIKS7. And you can also, as always, manage your team and access bundles of FPL content on fantasy.premierleague.com. Try not to miss FPL too much this weekend, and we'll be back previewing Game Week 4 next week.